Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. And for those of you that are just getting in for the Christmas season, we have been studying what is this truth, God with us, all about. The word Emmanuel means God with us. And we have seen the announcement of Emmanuel, the arrival of Emmanuel. And today we're going to look at the amazement of Emmanuel, God with us. So let's stand together as we prepare to read this scripture today. I know this is a super busy time of year for everyone. It's a time where most meals have extra calories, right? And we try not to eat too much of it. I heard about one fella, he was going to take some preventative measures because of all the eating for the holidays. So what he decided to do was to take the stairs instead of going up the elevator. But his Fitbit emailed him a report that his Fitbit had been stolen by an imposter, and they weren't used to all that activity. So how many of you are conscious of that just a little bit, right? And trying to stay on top of the exercise maybe, or watching what you eat. But it's a great season. It's a wonderful time to worship the Lord. And I hope that today's message will be a blessing to you. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let us pray. Father, please bless your word to our hearts as we preach today. And may we be mindful of what you did for us when you came down. And Lord, may we worship you as did the angels and shepherds of old, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, what do you think of when you hear the word awe? It has a couple different connotations. For example, some people might be looking forward to later on Christmas Day, sitting down in an overstuffed chair and saying, ah, right? How many of you are looking forward to that time? Any of you, right? All the gifts are purchased, everything's unwrapped. You sit down, it's kind of like, ah, that's great, right? But there's another word, awe, and it is a noun. And when you look up in the dictionary, the word awe speaks of a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. Awe, reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. Now, it's wonderful to see awe in other people's eyes, and especially children. You ever notice that? Sometimes you'll see children, boy, they get their first look at a huge mountain, or maybe their first look at the stars or the snow, and they're in awe. And that's one of my favorite things about Christmas, really, is just watching the eyes of children, just seeing them as their eyes open up and their lives open up to the wonders of God's creation. And when I think of awe, I think of many different things. I think of the day that I was saved. How awesome that God would send his son to die for me. Do you remember the day you were saved? When I think of awe, I remember the day that I married Terry, and how awesome that she said yes to me. That was amazing, right? I think of the day when each of our children were born. Do you remember that day when you held that newborn baby? Just awesome. And you look at that child and there's something awesome. I remember when our grandchildren have been born and how awesome that is and how wonderful. And And some of you might think of something like maybe the Grand Canyon. The first time you saw that, you were in awe at that Grand Canyon. Or maybe you think of the Niagara Falls or something like that. But you know, I find it amazing that people who are near to those places, like the Grand Canyon, like Niagara Falls, after a while, they lose the awe of it. They lose the wonder of it. I have friends who live very near to the Grand Canyon, and you know, they've kind of been there, done that. It's a big hole in the ground over there, you know, the Grand Canyon. I have friends that live near Niagara Falls, and yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's lots of water going over the hill there. But after time, it's just kind of something that's there. And I'm afraid after pastoring for some 35 or 40 years of preaching now, that in my life and sometimes in the lives of our church family, perhaps some of our guests today, you can actually get to a place where you lose the awe of it. Christmas is just another thing on the calendar, and the Bible, well, that's that book we have to find on Sunday. And Jesus, well, yeah, I know about Jesus. I grew up around it. You know, my parents made me go. And somehow all of the trials and sometimes the burdens and those hypocrites out there and all of the life experiences form a film between us and our awesome God. And it's my prayer this morning that some of us will let some of that film move away and some of that calendar move away, and that we will remember how awesome Jesus is and how wonderful it is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he was born in Bethlehem's stable, placed in that manger, fully God, fully man, come down to us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is awesome. Amen. Now, when I think about how awesome God is, I pray, Lord, help me not to lose the awe of it. Don't raise your hand. Maybe it's happened to you. Or maybe you know another Christian that just lost the awe of it. I heard about a little girl that was traveling with her dad. They were on a train and they were traveling through the countryside, and as they traveled through the countryside, they were passing various different things. And the little girl had her face pressed up against the glass. And every time they passed something special, she would comment and she would say, look, Daddy, there's a horse. And then a little while later, she'd say, look, Daddy, there's ducks in the pond. And a little while later, she'd say, look, Daddy, there's a whole big house behind a big tree. And she was going on and explaining all these things. And after a while, you know, the dad was a little embarrassed and people were kind of complaining a little bit. And so finally, the father looked at all the crowd around them and he said, please don't mind her. She still thinks that everything's wonderful. Do you remember when everything was wonderful? I mean, before you got cynical, before you got critical, before you got hurt, before you got the been there, done that attitude. Do you remember when things, I don't know how old you were, maybe you were 12, maybe you were 40, maybe it was right after you got saved. But I know this about everybody here. There's been times in your life when things were wonderful. Times in your life when, man, it's amazing, God saved me. Wow, the choir was beautiful. Hey, Dad, thanks. Hey, Mom, thanks. Wonderful. And what I want you to see with me this morning is how wonderful Jesus really is. I want you to notice that there is an amazing announcement in this passage. An amazing announcement. You saw it a moment ago. Verse 8 says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, we see this amazing announcement is given to common men. Common men. These are shepherds. And on the night of our Savior's birth, God sends a message to these unlikely recipients of all the people in the world. he sends the message to shepherds. And you know, the great thing about that is that it reminds us that salvation is available for all people. Now, we have lots of wonderful people in our church, and we've got folks with all levels of education and background and experiences. It's really cool when you talk to some of them and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are common men and women apart from the grace of God. It's only because of God's grace that there's anything of note about my life. And so we can identify with these shepherds. Dwight Pentecost, the great theologian, once wrote these words: "These were most unlikely recipients of revelation, for shepherds were despised as a class because they were unable to observe the customary laws of ceremonial purification. They were considered by the Jews to be unclean. They had not been schooled in the law and therefore were considered ignorant. Such, therefore, would be unprejudiced witnesses to the birth of Christ. It was to these men that lived in the mountains, that smelled like sheep, it was to these common working men that God came down and revealed his birth." And what a blessing to see this. Not only was it given to common men, notice secondly, it was given by the angel of the Lord. Did you see that in verse 9? It said, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Now, the angels are ministering spirits who were often God's messengers. Hebrews 1:7, "And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." The angels serve the purpose of God, and there are many types and realms and ranks of angels. We know, for example, that there was an angel in eternity past named Lucifer. And Lucifer rebelled against God, and Lucifer said, "I will be like unto the Most High." And Lucifer claimed one-third of the angelic beings, and those demonic beings still wreak havoc in society today. And they fight against the work of God, and how tragic to think of the rebellion. But here we see the very faithful angels proclaiming the truth. And in this case, we see a very unique angel called the angel of the Lord. This is a special angel appearing. In fact, the angel of the Lord is what we call a theophany. It is a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ. It is revelation to us that Jesus Christ is omnipresent. It is, in this particular case, the Lord Jesus Christ announcing his own birth. It's an awesome thought. And here we see the angel of the Lord, this special angel, announcing to the shepherds the birth of the Savior of the world. And so we see this announcement is telling us something that we must know, that Christ has been born. He appears in bright shining glory. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord here means an exceeding great or bright luminous appearance. Something like when Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus, Syria. And as he was going to Syria, suddenly a light from heaven shone upon him. And Jesus Christ in that moment said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That light that Paul saw, this is the light here in the Christmas story. It is the glory of God coming down upon the shepherds. And so we see that this was given to all men. This amazing announcement is for all men. It's given by an angel of the Lord. And thirdly, it's given for our salvation. This is the good news of the gospel. Notice in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, the message of salvation is a message that removes fear. And sometimes in our lives, there's fear. Sometimes it might be a medical diagnosis. Sometimes it might be a job-related situation or a wayward child. We don't know the different kinds of fear that even are represented in this room today, but fear comes into our lives. And fear came into the lives of these shepherds. And to that fear, God said, "Fear not." And the reason that he could give that message was because the peace giver, the Lord Jesus, had come to the world. And so salvation removes fear and salvation brings joy. The Bible says, "For I bring you good tidings of great joy." Romans 10 and 15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things." You see, the gospel is good news and it removes fear and it brings joy. But the greatest thing about the gospel that is mentioned in verse 10 is right at the end where it says, "Which shall be to all people." Let's say that together. "Which shall be to all people." No longer was salvation found through the ceremonial laws of the Jews. Now it was available for the Gentile. It was available for all people. And we should be thankful for that. Red, yellow, black, brown, white. Everyone is precious in His sight. And Jesus Christ came as no respecter of persons, but that all men might be saved. And this was the universal message that God gave to the world. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Revelation 22 and 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Aren't you glad this morning that the Christmas message is not for a simple few, but it's for the whosoever will come. H.A. Ironsides, who pastored years ago in Chicago area, wrote these words, "There are good tidings of great joy for all people, not just for a limited number, but for all people. All men everywhere are invited to put their trust in the Savior whom God has sent into the world." And so we have an amazing announcement given to common men, given to remove fear and bring salvation. But notice secondly this morning, there is an amazing adoration. I want you to see the response of these shepherds. The Bible says in verse 13 concerning the response to this announcement, first we hear from the angels, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When the announcement was made by the angel of the Lord, the first response is the sound of praise. The sound of praise. Psalm 148 in verse 2, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all the hosts." The angels are the first to give praise unto the Lord. Hebrews 1 and verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." By the way, the angelic beings worship God, and if they worship God, how much more should we worship and praise God? And we see them worshiping here, and we see that Jesus Christ is the focus of their worship. You know, it's my prayer that when we sing a song, it's my prayer that when we give an offering, that we're doing it from a heart of praise and worship to the Lord. I heard of a little girl that was unwrapping some of her presents, and finally she was done, and her friend looked at her and she said, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? And she thought about it for a moment and she said, "Well, no. But then again, it wasn't my birthday." You see, the greatest gift that we're going to ever receive in this life is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the praise was because the Messiah had come. The Lord Jesus had come. The sound of praise was heard. The Bible says that there was sound in verse 13, a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And what is the goal of praise? We hear the sound of praise, but what is the goal of praise? Is it just a good vibe? Is it like, "Man, that was a great band. I mean, that was a cool service." I mean, really, is the goal that we can say, "That's a cool band," or "That was a great preacher," or is it a little higher than that? Help me out. What is the goal of praise? Because you would think in listening to some Christians that praise is an end to itself. But the goal of praise is not the one that is singing. It is the one to whom they are singing. Can I get an amen there? The goal of praise is the Lord Jesus himself. In fact, it says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. In the Latin, it is simply stated, gloria in excelsis Deo. In other words, the glory all belongs to God. And the angels are singing this. If the Messiah has come, then let us give glory to God. They are singing that the birth of Christ displays the glory of God. For it was according to his predeterminate counsel that a Messiah would come and that the sin problem of the world would be wiped away. And that was impossible unless he had truly come. And now he has come. Glory to God in the highest. The Bible says that there was glory given in heaven because in heaven there was rejoicing over the redemptive plan of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The angels knew that mankind was a fallen race and without hope and without help, but now help had come and hope had come, and his name was Jesus Christ, and so glory was being given in heaven. But also it says peace and goodwill toward men. Not only was there glory in heaven, but there was praise on this earth because peace could be found. Now someone would say, well, yeah, so much for that. We've had wars. We have wars now. Where's the peace? I'll tell you where the peace is. Peace is found in the heart of everyone who knows that they are truly saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the angels gave praise because redemption had come. And the angels gave praise because now men and women everywhere could have peace in their heart. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he had come, and the angels sang praise unto the Lord. It was an amazing announcement, and there was amazing adoration and praise given because Jesus had come. But I want you to notice finally with me this morning an amazing appreciation. An amazing appreciation. Now someone says, well, you know, Pastor, you know, the announcement, it's awesome, but I memorized that when I was in the third grade, and the adoration, you know, of the angels, that's cool, but I knew that by the sixth grade, and, you know, a lot of this is just historical, and it's biblical, everything you've said is biblical, I get that, but what do I do with this sermon? How does the Christmas story affect me? What is the response that should come forth from my heart? Well, since we're all just common people this morning, let's learn from the shepherds before we close, shall we? And notice what it says in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Oh, here we see the angels having given their message and left. And now we see the shepherds standing there alone, having heard the greatest story ever told, that the Messiah had come. Maybe they were a mile or two away from Bethlehem in those terraced hillsides tending to their flock. But now there was an urgency in their heart. Now there was an appreciation in their heart. And so the first response of these shepherds is our response as well. And that is that they pursued the Savior. They pursued the Savior. The Bible says in verse number 16, and they came with haste. Here the Bible teaches us that they left immediately. They wanted to see the Christ child. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you came here this morning, what were you seeking? Who were you seeking? The shepherds pursued Jesus. Were you looking for a good service, just some time at church, or do we come here wanting to see the Lord, wanting to know Him more, wanting to find more about Jesus? They were pursuing the Lord. They left immediately, and they looked intentionally. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, the shepherd said one to another, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." They said, we've got to see this stable area, this manger. We've got to see Joseph and Mary. But most of all, we want to see Jesus. And the word here, see, is more than a visible sight. It is to perceive. It is to understand. They wanted a greater understanding of Jesus. They wanted to know this child that would be born to die for their sin as the Redeemer of the world. They wanted to perceive Him. And so the shepherds pursued the Savior. Can I encourage you today? Can I encourage you this Christmas morning to pursue and perceive the Lord Jesus Christ? Our families, like every other family, we're going to get our kids, our grandkids, and they're going to be looking at those presents and trying to figure out which one is theirs. And Terry has a great method for never letting them know. She puts the names of the reindeer on those packages so the kids never know if they're Rudolph or Blitzen. They never know who they are until Christmas morning. But they look at those gifts. They look at those lights. But I tell you what I enjoy most of all, dads. I enjoy opening the Bible to this chapter right here. And I enjoy reading Luke 2. And I enjoy talking about the Savior that came. And I tell our family sometimes how I got saved, and I tell them how Jesus came to provide salvation, and we talk about what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph. And you say, well, yeah, that's not how we do it. Our kids are just not that way. You know what I find? Children will respond to the leadership of a family. Because what I want them to see, and I want them to see the presence, I want them to see how much we love them. But more than I want our grandchildren to know how much I love them, I want them to know how much God loves them. Amen. I want them to perceive that. And the shepherds pursued Jesus. And many times people go to church, but they're not pursuing Jesus. They're not in awe of Jesus. And here we find these common men in awe of Jesus. They pursued Him. And then notice, finally, they proclaimed Him. The Bible says in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Now, I happen to believe that when someone is truly saved, it changes their life forever. It doesn't mean that someone's perfect. It doesn't mean that someone never has a trial. But it simply means that their life's message is different forever. You want to share what you know. You don't have to be a theological expert to do this. You just know something great. And I find that people tend to talk about what's important to them. And people talk about their grandkids like I just did, and people talk about their favorite football team, and they talk about experiences and flying planes and jumping out of planes and all these different things. And none of it's bad. It's fine to talk about those things. But wouldn't you suppose that if you had met the Messiah, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, and if you had seen Him, and that is to perceive what it's all about, and God let you in on this big picture, don't you suppose that you'd want to make that known abroad, and that if you had someone that was your partner or your friend or your relative, you'd want them to know also about Jesus Christ, amen, right? You'd want to share Him with them. And here we see what our response should be. As we look at the shepherds, these common men, our response should be, Lord, I want to know You more. I want to see it. I want to perceive it. And Lord, I want to tell others. I want to make known abroad what You have done and the way that You have loved us. Albert Einstein said, "He who can no longer pause to wonder is as good as dead." Can I encourage you this Christmas? Don't lose the wonder of it all. Don't get over the awe, the awesomeness of God coming down to us. Senator John McCain spent 5.5 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam back in the 1960s. During that time, he was frequently tortured while he was kept in solitary confinement. He later wrote that his lowest point was Christmas Eve, 1969. That was the moment when he felt, for some reason, that he would never be released. Homesickness had taken a grip, and it was made worse when the Vietnamese captors played on that December 24th the song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," over and over again on the PA system. As that song was being played, there was a soldier next to McCain by the name of Ernie Bruce. He was a Marine that had been in prison for 4 years already. And he began tapping out in a code known only to the POWs, this message. He said to McCain, "We'll all be home for Christmas. God bless America." McCain said those simple words of the hope of Christmas restored his heart, reminded him of his hope, and gave him the confidence that he would be home again someday. May I say to you this morning that the world still needs saving, that God began the process 2,000 years ago, and that people even today who could just hear the message of Christmas could find hope in Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it, but we look at people, you look at your boss, boy, he's got it all. Look at that boat, look at that new car. Wow, look what she's wearing, whoa. And we see people a little above us, maybe in life, and we think, boy, they've got it all. But can I tell you that just like John McCain, they are in prison to their materialism. They are in prison to their idea of success. And they are unhappy and without hope and without true peace, because when you don't have Christ, you don't have peace. And the amazing truth of Jesus is that when you really see and understand who he is and what he's done, then the peace of God can come flooding into your soul and you'll know that your rescue is coming again.